Church, you have also have blessed us over the past 20 years in supporting us. You began supporting us 2 months before we went to the field, and you've been faithfully doing that ever since. And so we're grateful for your love, for your prayers, and for your support. It is working over there. We're still there. You're holding the ropes here, and we're seeing souls saved. So thank you for that. For those of you who do not know me, those of you that were here during the Sunday School Hour, my name is Guy Bankston. I grew up in the state of Oregon. Again, as I mentioned then in Sunday School, please pray for Oregon. That's a state that I grew up in. I was born in Salem, the capital, and it's a dear spot in my heart for them because they are not following Christ. And I wanted to reach them in the worst way when I went through Bible college and wanted to serve God with my life. But the Lord didn't have that, see fit that for me to go back there. I guess that those scriptures, you know, a prophet's not welcome in his own country, his own state. But My wife, I met her in Florida. She's from Pennsylvania. This is my wife, Debbie, here. And again, she has been an amazing blessing from God to me, and encouragement and support for me over the 20 years that we've been in New Zealand. As you can tell, I am getting older than when I was 20 years ago, getting grayer, getting shorter because I'm getting bigger, okay? That happens and sometimes for some of us. And we have a need for disciples. We have a need to, as your pastor and other pastors I've met around the U.S. so far, as we've been traveling and sharing the word, many of them are in a position where they're looking to hand off the baton, to have someone come fill up the pastoral position, the missionary position on the field. The Sunday school teachers are looking for people to replace them. And I believe that we are in the condition we are in the States here because of the fact that we just do not have enough discipling going on. We all are, if we are here today and we've trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have the Holy Spirit within us, and He desires to share the truth through us. Amen. And use us in a mighty way. And we have a big gap of people that are not surrendering to come up and fill these positions to continue sharing the truth of God's Word, to continue to be an ambassador and messenger of God's Word to this darkened world we're living in. And so I prayed about what I would preach on when I came back to America this time on furlough, and I decided that God wanted me to talk about discipleship, disciples, being disciples. Again, if you've trusted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are a disciple of the Lord. The problem is whether we are actually still in the disciple-y mode, meaning learning, and or we're in the discipler mode and failing to learn or failing to share what we have learned in others, to others around us. And my question, the title of my message today is, what's your excuse? Why are we not being the disciple we should be? Now again, that all begins with the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And if you're here today and you don't know anything about the Holy Spirit, you have never received the Holy Spirit, then you are most likely not understanding what a lot I'm sharing about today. But I can tell you this, that God wants you to have the Holy Spirit. Amen. He wants you to be redeemed. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have the assurance and joy and hope that only His Word can give you in this life we're living in. And we're living in some pretty trying times. Every time I come back, it's usually about every 5 years, I see a little less of the America I knew back 20 years ago. And it's because we're just not discipling as we should. We're not sharing as we should. We're silent. And we all have excuses, amen, as to why we don't share, or why we don't serve, or why we don't go, or why we don't give, or why we do not trust. We all have excuses. But I can tell you this, no excuse is going to hold water when we stand before Jesus one day. Amen. No excuse. We need people, and we need you. In New Zealand, we need you here in America. And without you sharing the gospel or spreading the gospel, our churches will fold. They'll get smaller and smaller until we have no churches holding the ropes. And we won't be able to serve on the field as we are today. So I'm going to take us to a passage of scripture found in Luke chapter 9 today. And this is a passage where Jesus himself talks about excuses. Jesus himself talks about the excuse that you may already have as you are looking to possibly serve or would like to serve or don't know whether you should serve or how to serve. And so we're going to be looking at a few of these excuses found in these passages. If you are at Luke chapter 9, if you could stand in honoring a reading of God's Word today, we would follow along with me from verses 57 and following. The Word of God says in verse 57 of Luke 9, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him," we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus gives him a little bit of information here, an instruction of what it means to be following him. He said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, 'Follow me.' But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father God, we are truly grateful for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, we come because you tell us to come. We seek to assemble together to have fellowship and encourage one another, Lord. But more importantly, we want to honor you. We want to glorify your name. And Lord, to do that today, we need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit that you have given us. One that wants to mold us into the image of Christ. One that wants to equip us to be able to serve as you have left us to serve you, to reach this world that's in darkness, to share the truth that would set others free that we have. Lord, I'm so grateful for your love, grace, and mercy you show us every day. But Lord, help us today to yield to the Holy Spirit working in us of the truth that you would share with us today. And Lord, if we have excuses as to why we're not serving, as to why we're not giving, as to why we're not going, Lord, would you help us to lay those down today and take up our cross and follow you? Bless in the preaching of your word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, oftentimes when we're growing up, we seek somebody or look for somebody that we might follow or that we might learn to grow and to be more like them in what they do. When Jesus came, he didn't follow us. He took the first step. He left his throne because he loved us, and he was seeking others that might come to him. He was seeking others and looked for them and found them. Now, when Jesus chose his apostles or his disciples, he went to them. They didn't come to him. Because we're usually walking like the world around us, and we blend in like the world around us, and we don't search all the time for Jesus. We search for what we want or what's going to please us. But Jesus was looking for certain characteristics in his apostles or in his disciples. And I don't know if I'd have chose the same ones that Jesus chose. You know, he chose only because I look on the outward like most of us do. You know, we're looking for somebody that's a born leader, or somebody that's going to be is going to have certain orate speaking skills, somebody that's already been successful and have proven themselves in certain things. And Jesus didn't always pick those to be his apostles or his disciples. He sometimes picked those that we despised here in this world and outwardly. I know he picked Peter, and Peter was a bit fishy, you know. He was a bit fishy. I don't know if I'd want to be around a fisherman like that that smells fishy all the time. It'd be hard to be concentrating on discipling them. And not only that, Peter was always saying things he shouldn't. He was putting his foot in his mouth all the time. That was me. I always said things I shouldn't. Or I didn't speak at all. And yet he must have loved fishermen, because he also picked John and James, you know, the sons of thunder. And they were all about themselves, prideful, arrogant. And yet God seen something in these three fishermen, as well as he picked a tax collector. Nobody likes tax collectors, do we? Especially ones like Levi or Matthew, because they wanted to squeeze every penny they could out of you, and then more if they could get it. And yet Jesus saw something in these disciples that I think he wants to see in us. And of course, they learned to be his disciples. They learned what it meant to follow Jesus. They learned how they could trust and put their faith in Christ wholly, in him and not themselves. And they were willing to be yielding to the Holy Spirit and the teaching of God, and willed and acted upon their will to be faithful to him and to grow in their knowledge of him as they went on. And we need to be willing to grow in him. Amen. We need to be a disciplee. We need to be continually learning. And don't think that you've arrived yet, because you haven't. You're still here, and you're still hearing the preaching, and you're still hearing God's word. I think too many of us get to a point where we stop listening because we think we're old enough, we're mature enough, we're already serving, we're the pastor, we're the Sunday school teacher, we don't need to learn anything more. And no, you can just go back through the foundations and the principle of God's word and realize that, whoa, I've shifted from there. You know, I'm not quite following as I should, or I'm not doing as I should, or I need to get back to learning again what I need. And that's why I take our church about every 4 or 5 years through the basic steps of discipleship and what the foundation is again, because we find ourselves shifting. And if you don't have something to measure from, you don't realize you've slipped, and you've shifted. And I can tell you, as I travel around preaching the Word of God, many of us have shifted. We're not walking in the churches that I've been in. They're no longer the church that I knew 20 years ago. And that happens as we do. I mean, it can be very subtle. The devil is very subtle in how he shifts us. And so we need to realize that we need to toe the line. We need to stay true to what God's Word says. As the world continues to get farther and farther away from God, I think we as Christians say, as long as we stay a distance from them, then we're okay. But the problem is the line is back here. And we continue to shift as they shift. Yeah, we may be a little different than them, but we've shifted from the mark. And we've come short of that mark. There's none of us righteous, no, not one. Amen?
Amen.
We all do come short of the glory of God. But God wants us to get back to that line. Otherwise, we won't shine brightly in the darker world we're in. It does take some certain things, some certain qualities, I think, that we must have in order to toe that line. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So I want to talk to you about 5 specific points in which being a disciple of God is required of us. One is, whether you're a disciple or a discipler, it's going to take a sacrifice. It's going to take sacrificing of your time, your talents, your treasures, whatever, your life to Him. Looking at those first few passages we just got done reading in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 and 58, Jesus identifies to this person that says, Jesus, he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He's seen Jesus. He's probably already seen the miracles he's done. He's seen what people are saying about him. He says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus gives him some information here. Do you really understand what you're saying? To be a disciple of mine, to follow me and do what I says, you're going to have to realize that my life is not easy. What I'm doing is not going to be fun sometimes. It's going to be a challenge. And people are not going to like you sometimes. And the places you're going to go, you're not going to be comfortable at it sometimes. It's going to take a sacrifice. He says here to this gentleman, says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Basically he's saying, I'm going to be homeless. You know, I'm not going to have the nice house that you've been living in. I'm not going to have the nice comfortable bed you've had, the nice 3 square warm meals that you've had throughout the day. It's going to be tough following me and in my footsteps to do what I'm doing. And to be like me means you're going to have to make some major sacrifices. And I know that we all are faced with those every day. When the Lord speaks to you and tells you, hey, you need to talk to this person about the Lord, you have to make it a choice. Am I going to talk to them? Am I willing to sacrifice my time to talk to them? Am I really willing to sacrifice being persecuted or somebody yelling at me, or maybe even being fired possibly from my job, or losing my girlfriend or my boyfriend, or losing my family because I'm going to talk to them? There is a sacrifice. But all of us have excuses as why we won't do it. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I don't want to lose my classmates or my friends at high school or college or my workmates, friends. I don't want to do that, so I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to be willing to sacrifice that. It's too big. But God wants us to sacrifice. God wants us to be His messenger. At whatever the cost, He says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And so many of us today have excuses why we want, and so we're living in our own little world, our own little protective area. I mean, how many in here regularly go over and talk to their neighbor, you know, about the Lord? Oftentimes they're thinking, oh, that neighbor, he never mows his lawn. He keeps throwing his rubbish on my side of the fence, you know, and I wish they didn't do this or I wish they didn't do that, but we never go over and talk to him about the Lord. I used to grow up in an environment where we had the welcome wagon. Anybody remember the welcome wagon day? Well, you'd go over and a new person moved into the area and went over there and says, hey, here's where you can go and get your barber haircut. This is where the great church is. This is where this is. We'd go over and give them a basket of food and different things to get them to know we care about them and that we're here for them. But today, we don't even know who our neighbor is. We're not even willing to go talk to them. They're the world that Jesus wants us to go be a light to. But what does it take? It takes a sacrifice on your time. It takes a sacrifice that they may not like what you have to say. But God wants us to sacrifice. He was telling this man, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be what you're accustomed to and what you're used to if you're going to follow me. I'm so thankful for this characteristic that we've seen in the apostles when Jesus came and talked to them and wanting them to be his disciple. They were willing to follow him at whatever cost. They were willing to follow him immediately. And oftentimes when we say, can you do this for me? We say, well, let me think about that for a while. We don't want to follow him right away. Or let me see what's on my calendar or my schedule already when there's a need or something God's asking us to do. We're not willing to sacrifice and say, right then, yes, I'll do it. And then go move my schedule around to do it. Because this is more important, what God's calling me to do. The apostles, when they heard, when Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, what did they do? Did they go back and say, oh, I have a responsibility to my mom and my dad. I got to wait. They're elderly and they need to die first. Once they die and I can bury them, then I'll come follow you. Or listen, I need to go prepare my family and stuff that I'm going to be going on to the mission field. I need to get things squared away with all these different things first. Once I get that done, then I'll come follow you. Once I get that done. The problem is, that never gets done. We say, I will go once I get these bills taken care of. Well, by the way, there's always going to be bills. Amen. They just don't go away. I've had people here with me. I want to serve God, and I'm going to go off to Bible college and prepare, and I'm willing to sacrifice these things, but I first need to get my things in order at home. Isn't that what this man just said here? He says, no man looking back is fit for the kingdom of God, you know? We need to take up our cross. We need to take up our plow. We need to start moving now, as he tells us to. And that's what the apostles did. They straightway let their nets. They dropped their nets and says, okay, let's go. They were willing to go. And we need to act quickly sometimes because we know not what a day will be, what a day will bring. And I don't know if any of you have experienced it, but sometimes one day looks great, the next day looks pretty gloom. One day you may be living and be healthy, and the next day you may be sick on your deathbed. We knew a young man that actually, my wife and I went to their home, a young man and his wife, and they were giving birth to a baby, a home birth. And my wife was there to be with him while I watched the kids. And Zeke was his name. Zeke lived until he was about 7 or 8 years old. He was at our family camp. And healthy, running around everything, 6 weeks later, he's dead. Cancer got him and he was gone. Nothing we could do. We don't know what a day is going to bring. Today is the day that we serve the Lord. Today we put it down and we start serving today because we know not what tomorrow brings. If you're here today and you've not trusted in Christ and you have excuses, I guess once your eyes are open to the truth, it's hard to see why people don't receive Christ. Who would turn down someone that wants to give you eternal life and give you every blessing that he wants to give you an abundant life and provide for your every need and never leave you nor forsake you? Who would ever turn that away? Once they've seen him doing that, it's hard to turn back. Even in his last days, this little 8-year-old was saying, you haven't trusted Jesus, please do. I want to see you in heaven. It's going to take a sacrifice to share the word, to be an example and be a disciple of Christ. We need to straightway follow him as he leads us through the Holy Spirit. The second point I want us to see here this morning is to be totally dedicated to him. Totally dedicated to him. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, that's a sacrifice, by the way, and take up your cross daily. That is, again, is a sacrifice because you got to take up Christ daily with you wherever you go and follow me. I am so thankful for the men and women of our country who have given their life that we might have the freedom we have in this country. Are you not? Amen. They were dedicated to the cause. And those that weren't dedicated to the cause, they wouldn't go. They said, I see there's a cause, there's a need for us to have our freedom, but I'm not willing to sacrifice to go. You know, when I was joining the military, I spent 14 years in the Air Force. My buddy came to me and says, hey, he was getting his hair cut. I was a barber and I was cutting his hair. He said, I'm going down to see the recruiter. Could you go down with me and just support me in this? I said, sure, I'll go down with you. So it was lunchtime, I went down. Well, that was a good recruiter, I'm telling you what. Because 3 days later, I was on the plane going to basic training. And my parents says, hey, I thought you were taking the business, cutting hair here. Well, what's interesting is that gentleman that I went to go with, he said, will you go with me to go down to see the recruiter? I said, yes. The recruiter talked me into going into the military. And he said, by the way, you can go in the buddy system, which means for the first 6 months, you guys will be together for the first 6 months. And I said, oh, that's great. He says, yes, that sounds good. I was a little nervous about the whole thing. So we go there to raise our right hand and say, I pledge this body, giving it to the government, basically, and commit to give this as their public, as their property, to use as they will. And when I raised my hand, my friend, he says, hey, where's your hand? Come on. He says, I can't do it. It was too big a sacrifice for him to commit. Aren't you grateful for those men and women that actually raised their hand and said, I will give my life to serve this country, that you might have the freedom. You might have the freedoms I had, I want you to have, and the future generation to have. Would God want anything less from us as a child of his to be dedicated to him and say, I want this world, those in the world that Jesus gave his life to have what I have, the hope and joy of I have, to serve him, to live with him for all eternity. I want them to have it too, and I'm willing to give my life. Yes, it's going to be a sacrifice, but we need to stick with it, amen? We need to stick with it. Keep the main thing, and we're going to require you to stay dedicated to it. And I'm grateful our men did that we have the freedoms we have here. My third point I want to look at this morning is that we need to continue to follow his teaching. We need to continue to follow his word. Again, toe the line. We cannot take ourselves off the line. Yes, we can fall. Yes, we can backslide, but get back to the line. Because without it, the world is going to only see darkness. And by the way, they'll start calling you a hypocrite. And the more you go this way, you stood here on the line when you first got saved, and as the world shifts, you're shifting, and they're saying, you know, you used to not say those things. You used to not act like that, or listen to those things, or look at those things, or dress like that. But now you're doing it. It's like a hypocrite. God's word is not negotiable. His word is what we need to stand by. Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, that's his teachings, what he teaches us, then are ye my disciples indeed. God will recognize you as his disciple if you're walking in his word. But if you're not walking in his word, then what does he recognize you as? The world. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you walk in his word, you see the truth of his word, you walk according to it by faith, he manifests his promises in your walk with him. You see it, it happens, it shows you the truth, and you see it's true. It really does happen as he says it happens. He really does provide as he says he's going to provide. Maybe not exactly the way you would want it to provide. Of course, we want the mansion. But he may say, the mansion's not ready for you yet. I have this for you. And be acceptable with that and be comfortable with that and what he gives us. We need to follow his teachings to be his disciples. It's interesting how in John chapter 6, verses 66 and 67, that many of his disciples, as they were learning about him, as they're learning how they were to walk and how they were to live according to his word, that they might have the abundant life he wants them to have, that others might see Christ in them, they found it too difficult. It was too big of a sacrifice. It says in these passages that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And I think that's what happens sometimes as we, when we receive Christ. I don't know about you, when I received Christ, I couldn't wait to tell my parents. I couldn't wait to tell my friends. But you know what? That was quickly shut down when I started feeling the sacrifice that I was having to give and the dedication I had to give to him. That I was going to lose my friends. I was going to lose my family. I was going to lose my job, possibly. It was just, you know, to follow his teaching, what he said, man, I had to live a certain way that the world doesn't live. In fact, they strive to live anything but godly. The world, I'm saying. I'm not talking about the Christian. The Christian strives to live godly. But what happens is when the world pushes so much back on you and you find out, wow, I'm really going to have to sacrifice to continue to walk this way and to act this way and to talk about Jesus. I'm really going to have to sacrifice to do this. We say, no, it's just not worth it. And so they silence us. And we're in the mess we are today because we've been silenced.
Amen.
Because of our excuses. It's just too big dedication. I can't dedicate myself to do that, God. It's too much sacrifice. I'm not willing to toe the line anymore. I'm going to shift. I'll be different, but I'm going to shift. We need to stay true to the Word of God. I, again, love the apostles and the prophets that were there, the disciples that were there with Jesus. When those ones, that many of them went back to follow him no more, Jesus went on to say, then to the 12 that were there, will you also go away? And I love what the disciples said there. It says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure, because the eyes were open to the truth, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How can we go back to live in darkness, to be chained in things of the world, when we have had our eyes open to the truth and the blessing God gives us in this life? How is the world going to see? I'm telling you, once you find the way, where are you going to turn? Once you're in God's middle of God's will and you have the abundant life he wants you to have, how can you ever go back into bondage and to live like the world? Many of us will choose because it's just too big a sacrifice, too much dedication to the Lord to do that. And we will not toe the line. Again, no man having put his hand to the plow, God's work, and looking back to the world is fit for the kingdom of God. No excuses. We need to continue to toe the line. Be willing to sacrifice and be dedicated to it. And fourthly, we need to love one another. We live in a time where it seems like we are the judge. He's the judge. Amen. And though the world lives in wickedness, and we have delegates, and we have parties that are walking like the world, was that not the way we walked before Jesus came and saved us? Jesus came down to us when we walked like the world. And yet he was willing to go to the very end, dedicated to the cause he had to redeem the lost, all the way to the end to say, it is finished. And one day, praise the Lord, you and I are going to say, it's finished, Lord. I'm looking forward to being with you. And you're probably thinking, Lord, I wish when he saved me, you'd have taken me right then. I wouldn't have to live through the mess I'm in today. And yes, that's true, but God is long-suffering. He watches that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And he's left you and I to do that. What's our excuse as to why we're not doing it? It's probably because we just don't love as we ought to. We don't love that politician that's voting that way. We don't love this government that has chosen to do those things. We don't love the sin. Yes, we don't love the sin, but we need to love the sinner. Amen. And we need to be in prayer for our delegates. We need to be in prayer for our parties. And on our knees and be willing to sacrifice to pray for them, our time. You're thinking, I'm not going to give my time to pray for that wicked person. You don't realize they just came over here and slashed my tires, or they did whatever to me. You know, they abused my family. I'm not going to pray for them. Did we not abuse Jesus? And yet he prayed and gave his life for those people. We need to do the same. I know it's hard. Don't get me wrong. It is hard. But in Christ Jesus, we can do all things who strengthens us.
Amen.
We just have to love him as he loved him. Yes, you can talk to your family and they say, hey, if you ever come back here again and talk about Jesus, you're not welcome in my home ever again. If you don't be the light that they need to see, they're going to see only darkness and they'll never have the opportunity. But if you be the light, one day you may hear, you know, I'm so sorry for the way I treated you. Somebody else shared with me from that seed that you planted a long time ago, being walking in the light, shared with me, and God's brought the increase now, and I've trusted Jesus, and I want to thank you for being that light back then. I think one day we get to heaven because of our love for those people that have made it such a sacrifice for us, and then dedicated to it are going to hear, like Jesus, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We need to love them. There's too much fighting in our own church. There's too much fighting between churches. We need to put our faith in Jesus. We need to love others and do as he did. Give our life for them and love them. This is the new commandment God gave us in John chapter 13. New commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I left my throne in heaven, was manifest in the flesh, endured such persecution. Yes, it was a sacrifice, but I was dedicated to the cause because I needed you to see the word that would set you free. And because I loved you, I was willing to do this. That you love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. When you start persecuting somebody else and suing somebody else and beating somebody else or treating them poorly, do they see Christ in you? Or do they see the world? No, we need to love them as they love us. And by the way, not everybody's going to have the same job. We all have a testimony to give, yes, but in our churches, sometimes we're jealous of this person to have that position or that person, whatever. We want that. By the way, every part of the body is important. I don't care what part you are. I remember going to our, not everybody wants to have a mustache, but a mustache helps to save a little food for later, you know. But I remember going to our church and talking to this lady that was in a wheelchair, and I says, her name was Zelma, and I said, Zelma, I says, did you recognize anything different about me this morning? I had shaved my mustache off. And she goes, yeah, you need to put a bag over your head. People recognize when you're not doing what you were meant to do and who you were meant to be. They recognize it. I remember right here in Virginia, I was doing my internship here in Midlothian, and the pastor and we got a hold of some of the men in the church and said, listen, we've got a possum that's crawled up underneath our building and it's died. And it got in the ventilation system and it stunk. It was bad. He says, can some of you men come in and take this possum out? And so a few men, they tried it, and they got out in about 5 minutes. They couldn't take it anymore, and they got out of there. And it was just too big a sacrifice. I'm not dedicated that enough, Pastor. They just didn't love us enough to help get that problem done. And no, they all did. They tried. And then finally, the pastor says, hey, I've got an intern. Let's send him under there. Now, I was an older intern. When I surrendered to serve God, I was 38 years old. I went to Bible college when I was 38, and I think, man, I'm going to be the old man. These young kids in here, young women in here, are going to be laughing at me because I'm an old man. Well, you know what? There was a 44-year-old man that was older than me there, and there was a 50-year-old man that was there. By the way, it's never too late to serve the Lord. If he's called you, no excuses. You'll never have joy. I know that's true because for 19 years, I ran from God's call in my life. And as much as I did in the church, as much as I served on the choir, it was a big choir, thank the Lord. I taught Sunday school, I gave him my tithe, I gave him my time, I did all those things. God had already called me to serve him full time with my life, and I kept running from that. And it wasn't until 19 years later that, because of my love for the Lord and all he'd done for me, I realized, God, I just can't run anymore. And he unshackled me from that burden. And now I have an amazing life that God has given me as a servant for him in New Zealand. We got to love as he chose us to love. You know, there was an old football coach, Vince Lombardi. Anybody know him? He was asked the question, what makes a winning team? And I paraphrased a little bit. I didn't really paraphrase. I used a lot of his words here, but I shortened what he said here. But he says, if you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. You've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the next person and say to themselves, if I don't block that man, someone is going to get their legs broken. I have to do my job well in order that they can do their job well. He then went on to say the difference between a mediocre team and a great team is the feelings the team members have for one another. Over the years, I've noticed that athletic teams that fight among themselves and are jealous of one another don't win as many games as teams whose members encourage one another and use their individual talents to complete one another. When I was that intern, and he asked me to go underneath there. Now, again, I was a little bit older, 38, probably 39 at the time. I realized, hey, man, I just need to get something so I can breathe underneath there without smelling what I'm smelling. So I said, hey, somebody got a gas mask. And, hey, we're living in the Civil War time frame. I said, somebody's got to have a gas mask. Sure enough, somebody did. So they brought it in. I went in there. I was in there 30 minutes. Didn't smell a thing. Worked under there. You know, if you have the right tools, you can do anything. If you have the right tools, it's not hard. In fact, it's a bit enjoyable because I got to find that and I had the joy of doing it to do that. And you know what? Nobody else wanted to do that job. Nobody was jealous of that job. Okay? They're saying, you can do it. And you know what? After I got doing that job, everybody loved me. Sometimes the jobs aren't sweet that God's asking you to do, but to be his disciple, you have to be willing to sacrifice. You got to be dedicated to do what he asks you to do. You got to toe the line, do it with the right tools, the word. And you got to love others enough to do it for them. And so it's going to take some. And if you're going to be the disciple God wants you to be in order to backfill where your pastor is today, where your Sunday school is today, where your missionary is on the field today, they're going to get old and they're not going to be able to do the job anymore. We need people. We need co-laborers. We need help. We can't be silent. We've got to do what point five is, and that is to share the gospel with others and teach them what we have learned. Be the person we need to be. And when you are, again, you will have to suffer some sacrifices. We know that. Even the apostles had to do that when they shared the truth of God's word. And God's word, when it works, it's like a miracle in people's lives. It brings you from something you were to something that he wants you to be. And it is a miracle before others that see that transformation. And when you do those things, the world notices. If you'd have known me when I was a kid, you would say, there's no way that that man, that boy, will ever stand behind a pulpit and preach the word of God. There's no way that ever happened. I was so shy, such an introvert. I always said, I was a Peter. I always put my foot in my mouth, saying things I shouldn't have. And I never bragged about myself because I thought so little of myself in that time. And I was just so shy. I would take failing grades when the teacher says, you need to give up and give a report on the book you just read. No, I'm not going to do that. No, you're going to do that. No, I'm not doing that. So you would get a failing grade and say, give me the failing grade. I'm not going to do it. And a young lady come up and talk to me. I was really shy. I'd go to the bathroom and throw up. I was so sick to my stomach. I just wouldn't do it. But yet, through Christ, we can do all things. If we step out on faith, say, God, okay, I'm willing. He will do the rest. He will conform you into his image. He will work in you. He will mold you. And he will allow you to finish the call that he's given you. But we have to be willing to do that. And we must share the gospel. And we do expect these things I've spoken about. Definitely the persecution, the sacrifice. As the apostles were sharing the sacrifice, in Acts chapter 4, it talks about several different people, how when they heard or seen the miracle God was doing through them preaching the gospel and towing the line and being willing to be dedicated to it, the priests, the captains of the temple, the Sadducees, the rulers, the elders, the scribes, Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, as many as well of those that were kindred to the high priest, when they saw all these things, when the world saw all these things, their eyes were open. And this is what they said. What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been seen, has been done by them, is manifested to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They can't deny it when God does a miracle. Amen. Now they may try to excuse it away or try to do something or come up with some other idea, but we know it's a miracle of God. And they would too if they just opened their eyes for a moment. But that it spread no further, this sounds like the sacrifice they were going to have to make, among the people, let us straightway threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them to speak, not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful that Peter and the other apostles there, John, were willing to toe the line, willing to sacrifice, willing to be dedicated to it because they loved the people and they knew that God had called them to that. They said, Peter said, and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We need to spread the gospel, amen. We need to be disciples that he's called us to be. No excuses as why we're not. There should be young men and young women today, middle-aged men, middle-aged women today, and even older men and women today that are willing to say, No excuse. God, you called me to do this, I'm going to do this. I was just recently in a church, since we've been back. A lady is, was she 90 year old? Is teaching the youth group. 90 years old, teaching the youth group. Now, she shouldn't have to do that, but she had she had so much joy in her heart. As a 90-year-old, she seemed like she was just bouncing all over the place. I said, I can't even bounce around like that. But I'm telling you what, God gives you the strength to do it. And he will provide what you need to do it, the tools to do it. You just have to be willing to lay down your excuse and say, God, here am I. I want to serve you. If that means to go to the mission field in New Zealand, praise the Lord. There's room. There's lots of room. There's a big need. As there is all over the world. There's churches here in America that have no pastors. There's churches here in America who have pastors that want to retire because they just don't have the ability to do what they want to do. Not that they can still pastor, but not the way they could 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And they feel like they're hindering the work because they can't do it. They need some younger people to come up in and be trained to do the work so that the work can carry on. Otherwise, the church dies. The Lord's coming, amen? Amen. And we're looking forward to being with heaven, but he wants us to be his disciple today. What's your excuse? Let's all stand. We're going to have a word of God, a word of prayer. No excuse. Don't worry about the pressures of the world. The world's going to press, and they will. Just toe the line, share the truth, endure the cost. I know I'm facing probably here in the future, if someone comes into our church, with a lot they've already passed, that my ministry is going to change to a prison ministry. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. Apostle Paul had a great prison ministry, And I pray that I'd have a portion of that. But if I'm taken to prison because of what I'm preaching or teaching or sharing, then I hope and pray that someone else is already trained to be able to take that spot, to fill in the gap, and to share the truth. Maybe you're here today, and you realize that you've had excuses. I just don't have the time. The cost is too much. I'm not willing to give up my coffee twice a week to give to missions. And I'm not willing to go where you want me to go. I'm not willing to serve where you want me to go because I've got too many other responsibilities. We make time for what God calls us to do if we love him. We make time to do the things we want to do, but we do it for God. Today is the day to lay your excuse down. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then the invitation is open for you to come up here and lay your excuses down and take up your cross and follow Jesus. If you haven't trusted in Jesus, what is your excuse as to why you have not done that? It won't hold water when you stand before him one day, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord. It will be too late for you. Our Heavenly Father, God, again, we are so grateful for your word you have given us here. Jesus has given us here that there are ones that have excuses as to why they are not going out and preaching the gospel, as to why they are not taking their cross daily to follow you. You showed us in your word, and it's evident in our lives, including mine, that I've had excuses. Help us to throw those excuses down today, to take the step and say, here am I, Lord, use me. Have your will and way during this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name.